We're back.
Yeah, we are back.
Happy 1 year of ordinals inscribing on mainnet.
What's the date today?
Well, today is a mystery date, but I'm posting this on January 20th.
All right. Damn, 1 year. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, over the past year, every time, like, you would have asked me, like, how long has it been since mainnet launch? I would have been a lifetime ago.
Literally.
Yeah, like, it's, everything took off so crazy, and we have this so crazily fast, and we have this timeline, ordinals year in review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jiern and Daza both compiled very extensive ordinals timelines that were very helpful. But yeah, I mean, actually, we just rewatched the Ordinal Theory episode of Hell Money. We literally
so
look like 5 years younger.
We do. I mean, we both got fat.
A little weight? Does this look like a little weight to you?
Yeah, we're on a diet this
year. Yeah, so we're dieting.
Hell Money Pod hit the wall.
Yeah, we're trying to pull back from the wall.
Twink death comes for all of us.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, but I'm dieting hard. I'm going to be, you know, sleek and slim, you know. I'm
Silver Fox
vibes. Going to be coming everywhere. Like, it's going to be. You can edit that out. It's up to you. yeah. So.
But yeah, we're posting this in honor of 1 year since you launched Ord Inscribe.
Yep.
Which, that weekend, I was in New Mexico doing witchcraft.
Yep, literal witchcraft.
Literal witchcraft. And you were here.
Yep.
Literally, like, here.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. What was that, what was that day like? Do you remember?
I honestly don't remember. I think it was pretty unnoteworthy. As I've said before, Raph and I had been working on inscriptions for the last few months without much acknowledgement or interest. And our motivation was, or morale was a little bit low. And we just thought, like, okay, we need to get this out there. And we just did it. We got it, the code base, into a state where we were like, okay, it kind of does everything that it needs to. And yeah, we just put it out there.
The people that were inscribing before it was launched on mainnet, how were they doing that? Were they just, like, reading the PRs, or did you give people access, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the code was out there. It was just, there was a check in the code that said, only inscribe if you're not on mainnet.
Okay. Yep. But so then the inscriptions that were on mainnet before January 20th, like, what's the, those were just...
No, people just downloaded the source code and built a copy of of Ord with that check removed.
Yeah, that's, like, DGen level.
Yeah.
Those people deserve...
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think those are all, because we have on our timeline kind of like a general, like, oh, inscription 100 was here, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Inscription 30 was like something like January 26th-ish. Mm-hmm. It's not on the timeline, but I have it later.
Yep.
So, I mean, January 20th, there were probably like 10 inscriptions or less.
Something like that, yeah.
So there were just a couple that people had kind of degened around on, mostly just people that were either like listening to your very few person Twitter spaces or friends.
Nobody was interested. Like, me and Raph were having...
Morale was low.
Weekly or bi-weekly Twitter spaces that nobody showed up to. Like, period.
Rip.
Yep.
Before we get in, we should chill ourselves.
That's right. The Hell Money Podcast, it's been a labor
selling
of love.
Selling out. Is this
the Hell Moneying out or whatever? It's been a labor of love for the past how long?
Year and a half.
That's crazy, too. We are going to launch a Patreon. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I guess. We're going to do a Patreon.
Yep.
You're not going to get anything.
Yeah, you're not going to get shit.
Like, maybe we'll do
not
like
a goddamn thing, you filthy ingrates. All right.
Like, maybe we could do like names in the like credits. You know how people do that?
Yep.
But I really just, we're not promising anything else. It's just, we need money because we have an editor now.
Yeah, we have an editor.
Our editor is Bad Puffy Cheetos.
He's an
OMB guy.
Yep.
Love that.
Great to work with so far. He did the work on our Jeremy episode, which was great.
Oh, he's not anon. I definitely added him that episode.
Yeah.
So
he's also cutting out our ums and ahs and likes. So we sound much smarter.
Sound so smart, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have an editor now that we obviously want to pay, not just like have him do slave work. So we need a way of paying him that's not just us hemorrhaging money.
Yep. This recording equipment is not cheap, you know.
We've
gone through two Zooms. We got four mics. We got these arms here. Like, it costs are adding up.
Yeah. So we're starting a Patreon, or Or if you just want to give us like a one-off, then we're doing a Bitcoin address.
Yep.
Are we going to do just like Lightning, or are we going to do both? Let's just do both. I don't know. Why not?
Sure, but that's complicated.
What if someone wants to donate on-chain?
No, but I mean, doing on-chain is easy. We just post an address and they just send to it.
Yeah, we should just do that.
Lightning is hard. We have to like generate an address every time. We'd have to use some kind of service.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
so not that. We're not going to do Lightning. We're just doing
Lightning NGMI.
You got to send it straight through with that fucking fee market. Thanks, Casey.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So yeah, we'll have a Bitcoin tipping address.
Where are we going to publish that?
I don't know, in the description of this episode.
Okay.
Like, I'll probably tweet it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been telling everyone nonstop, like, January 20th, launch your thing. So this is going to be my thing that I launch on January 20th, is our Patreon and tipping address. Because, yeah, it's just, honestly, the main constraint in us posting more is that I have to fucking edit everything.
Yeah.
It's just, like, way too much. So yeah, we do,
like, long recordings. We set up. We talk about the episode. And then we do the episode, and then when we're done, I go, like, take a bath and play video games. Right. And then Aaron has, like, 8 hours of, like, editing to do in addition to all the recording. Yeah. And, I don't even make the thumbnails anymore. No. I used to make the thumbnails. I used to make these amazing thumbnails, but now
ever since you blew up, you know, you're not the same anymore.
Yeah, I'm not a man of the people anymore. No. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, they're like, how did you make it where you are with your humble beginnings? And I always tell them, first of all, how dare you speak to me?
That's like unironically true. I literally try DMing this man.
Please don't try DMing this man.
He will not answer. So contribute to that if you want. And if you don't, that's also fine. But hopefully we make enough money to pay our editor.
Yep, for sure.
Otherwise, we're packing it in.
Yeah, packing it in. It's over.
It's fucking over. Yeah. So let's go into the ordinals in review for the whole year. Starting, I guess, a year ago, January 20th, Ordin Scribe launched on mainnet very quickly. As I said, I think Inscription 30 was like the 24th or 26th, something like that. So it wasn't actually like an immediate overnight thing, but like in terms of people inscribing.
I mean, sort of. It was not literally an overnight thing.
Not literally.
But it was
like
metaphorically an overnight thing.
Yeah, it's about as close as you could get, because I think the fact that people had to sync a Bitcoin like node.
Oh yeah, and also some people tried to sync ORD indices and just realized that they needed a new computer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think like the technical, I mean, for people that already were kind of doing anything related to ORD or like syncing a node, it was easy to just kind of like inscribe a bunch of shit.
Yep.
And I think there were probably people that had those people inscribe for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like there was a little bit of like a okay, but when did people start noticing the inscriptions on the mempool? Like, we don't have that in the timeline, but that's what I remember.
Well, I can guess a little bit. So the timeline, just in terms of the numbers, are January 20th launched, January 27th, 100 inscriptions.
So over a week, we had 100 inscriptions.
7 days, 100 inscriptions.
Yeah.
And then February 2nd, 1,000 inscriptions. So that's like 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. To 1,000. January 6th, 10,000 inscriptions. So 4 days, 200,000 inscriptions. And then eight days, to 10,000 inscriptions. And then it took another February, March, April, month and a half, a little bit over a month and a half to get to 1 million inscriptions, which is, that's insane. I mean, that's actual, not exponential growth, because technically it's not an exponential function, but that's the classic, you know, hockey stick growth pattern. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
and just thinking about it, people probably wouldn't. I remember when I went to Miami, I was already talking to on the episode of Citadel Dispatch that I did with the great Matt O'Dell. We were talking about the mempools being full, so that by the time I was in Miami, it was having an impact on the mempool.
Miami, Nashville.
Sorry, not Miami. Nashville. Yeah.
Nashville was around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah. The date burned into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember I showed up to Nashville and I was like kind of worried how like the real Bitcoiners would receive me.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Moon saw me. I think he was a little bit drunk, and he yelled "Casey Fullbox" and like embraced me, and I was like, "It's all gonna be okay."
Yeah, yeah. So that would have been like February 12th was, well, okay, we're skipping around in the timeline a little bit because February 12th was the Teleburn.
Teleburn. That's right. So it would have been February 11th or something. So between 10,000 and 100,000 inscriptions, that kind of makes sense. That's when you sort of have enough inscriptions to start maybe impacting the mempool.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, okay, so like January 27th was 100 inscriptions, then the Taproot Wizards 4-megger was February 1st,
mm-hmm.
and then 1,000 inscriptions was the next day, February 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I mean, how would Udi and Eric and all of them had, like, I think by that time, it's like, there was enough of
Daniel
a narrative
Porteau
formed.
Had written the article
yeah, I feel
that
like the
a lot of people saw.
Dennis Porteau? Yeah.
Dennis Porteau.
Dennis Porteau's yeah. article, I feel like, was the thing that, yep. like, a lot of, and actually, I mean, thinking about that for the time that it came out, it was such a, actually, like, thoughtful, contemplative piece on what Ordinals was
mm-hmm.
at a time where, like, no one was appropriately understanding what Ordinals was.
Yep.
I remember yep. in those early days just being shocked as, you know, I would consider myself to be a non-technical Bitcoiner. Like, I can get around fine, but I'm not a technical Bitcoiner by any means. And I was shocked at how many Bitcoiners that I thought were at least more technical than me had no idea what ordinals were, had no idea what the difference between an ordinal and an inscription were, and just said such like blatant statements that made it seem like they knew what they were talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was the, I remember like just that time feeling very kill your heroes.
Yeah.
Like just
yeah. Yeah.
No one is worthy of like you outsourcing your thoughts to them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But anyway.
Who are the worst? Is there anybody you don't like enough to say their name?
I mean, I don't care like about any of them. So I feel, I just know Adam Back's very respected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam Back, I remember talking about it very early on in a way that I was like, I thought this was someone that people looked to for technical understanding and just mm-hmm. and I think a big part of it was not even so much that I was like, oh, these people are so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just more that I think a lot about the things that I say in a written form.
Mm-hmm.
On a podcast, we're spreading misinformation. On a podcast, I'm saying stuff that's wrong. I'm spreading misinformation.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying stuff that's dumb.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing
yeah,
out my,
yeah, yeah,
my
yeah,
opinions
yeah,
because
yeah.
because the depth that you have to get to even reach me saying that
yeah,
it provides a lot of context.
It comes with a lot more context. And yeah, somebody can clip you out of context. But
it's
Twitter is out of context by default.
Exactly. And yeah. that was the thing that I think really was remarkable to me at that time was how many people that I thought, you know, their Twitter is something that people look to outsource their technical opinion. And to a certain yeah. extent, like you need to outsource your technical
yep.
opinion if you're a non-technical
yep.
person. You
yep.
look to people like Adam Back or whoever. And yep. I don't even mean to single him out. I just remember at that time.
Yeah, no, I remember it too. And I respect Adam Back a lot. I like him a lot. I think he's funny. I think he's smart. But yeah, he just kind of had a bad take, which was like weird to see. You know, like I think that a lot of people who I think are smart, they saw this, they didn't like it, and they had a knee-jerk reaction, which was, you know, ultimately out of character, not reflecting their normal level of, like, thought, care, and rigor.
Yeah.
You know, they just blasted it out there.
Yeah, that's what was surprising to me was just if your thoughts are written and recorded for everyone to see,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you spend a second or at least preface it with saying, oh, I haven't
yeah.
had a chance to really look into this that much. Or even just ask the question directly, like, am I understanding this correctly that blah, 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 blah. Like, there was no, it was really, really surprising how many people, I don't know if Jimmy Song gave opinions early on, but I feel like Jimmy Song,
Jimmy Song has been giving opinions continuously.
Yeah, he's
Jimmy Song is a ideological, morality view Bitcoiner.
But he's someone that people really respect technically. Like they take his courses, you know?
Yeah, he is also very technically strong
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just was weird. Yeah, I remember just really feeling like, wow, there's very few really big Bitcoin accounts that have actually, I mean, who had good takes early on? And by good takes, I don't even mean that they like ordinals.
Oh, maybe merch.
Yeah.
Merch was yeah. like, I can't tell if like ordinals is a real thing or just Casey trolling.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah,
a good
yeah,
tweet.
Yeah. That's a good take.
I mean, the thing is that a lot of the people who have the best takes just kind of stay out of it. They're like, oh, whatever. Like, this is stupid, but it doesn't matter. Or this is fine and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think maybe the best take was Andrew Polstra.
Right. No, that's exactly
his mailing list post. He was like, yeah, like, you can't really stop this in any kind of principled way. He said some pretty base things. He said, like, well, if there's not enough demand for transactions to fill up blocks, what's the problem with paying miners to include a bunch of trash that we don't care about that subsidizes the security model? He said some downsides. He had some good ideas of downsides. One of them, he says, well, the fee market could get tangled up in like altcoin pump and dumps, right? Which it has, right? Which I think is fine. I think it adds some more volatility, but that gets smoothed out. I think it's fine. And then he was like, yeah, like whatever. And then he never said another thing about it. He said his piece and he just went back to what he was doing, which is like the right thing. He's probably thinking about some weird like crypto thing, or like not cryptocurrency, or writing some actual code, or like shout out to the Rust Bitcoin maintainers. He's one of the people who works on Rust Bitcoin, which is major dependency of Ord. We could not do Ord without him. I interact with him regularly on GitHub because I say, like, oh, this thing is broken in Rust Bitcoin, or we'd like to have this feature, or we added this feature. Do you want to accept it? And he's like, he's very cheerful. He's great. Like, that's the based response. He good taked it, and then he just dipped.
Well, it just makes you think about how many controversies that you see happen that you don't have the background for.
Yeah.
And
it's the dumbest people. Locking horns.
So yep. that was like January, February for me.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do I have? Oh, okay. So continuing through, so we have 100 inscriptions at January 27th. By February 2nd, we had 1,000. February 6th, we had 10,000.
Well, February 1st, we had the Taproots.
Wizards I mentioned,
four megger,
yeah.
Which I had thought that would come a lot later.
Yeah, you predicted a four megger a long time ago.
Yep.
You were always like, oh, how long till someone does a 4 megabyte inscription? And it was, the answer was like almost instantly.
Yep. Crazy.
Which is crazy.
Yep.
And what's interesting is, I mean, I guess it makes sense, and I think it does speak to just the way that ordinals are primal, is that's not something that, I never got the sense that the Taproot Wizards got that idea from you or anything else that they had heard through the grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they came up with that idea themselves independently, and you also had been talking about it for many months prior.
Yep.
So it's, and they knew it would like make a splash, just like you knew it would make a splash. So it's, I loved to see that when I saw it.
Yep.
It was fun.
Yep.
February 12th, I have DZ and the Astral Babes doing the first ordinal inscription.
And Vibes God. Shout out to Vibes God.
Vibes God. Shout out Vibes God always. Doing the first primary sale with Lightning payments. Did you expect that? Like before ordinals, did you expect, oh, people will want to pay with Lightning
things? Yeah.
Because that happened, I feel, very quickly, but it makes sense. And it also makes sense that DZ did it.
Yep.
You know?
DZ's a hustler. He's fast moving, you know.
And it's Lightning. It's his thing.
Yep.
So, yeah. But that same day, February 12th, that was the Teleburn.
Yep. First
Teleburn.
So
you were in Nashville.
Yep.
And that was when
you... Living it up. And the blonde Dawn or blonde Juan or something, some ape.
Parabolic.
Of blessed memory now lives on the Bitcoin blockchain.
I mean, it's awesome. It's so fucking awesome that the first Teleburn was a Bored Ape.
It's really
beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 100K inscriptions.
Yep.
The first inscription on an uncommon sat.
Yep.
Which is, as far as I can tell, it's literally just like a thing that says like uncommon collection coming or something like that.
Yep.
But I don't even know what happened.
There are many mysteries on the Bitcoin blockchain at this point.
There are a lot.
The Bitcoin blockchain has become highly mysterious. It was not, it was moderately mysterious at most before. Mm-hmm. And now the clues, the relics, the strange threads of untold stories run through the blockchain like a sort of a magical weave as mysteries weave through the universe.
I feel like especially with recursion now, the amount that you can do with referencing and the amount that people have done with referencing, we need Bitcoin archaeologists. Like we need inscription archaeologists, inscription art historians already.
Yep.
You know, to find these odd things.
Well, we also need, we should have something which traces the relationships of inscriptions through recursion. Something that executes an inscription, sees which web requests it make, and intercepts those web requests to see which other inscriptions it's referencing. Yeah. And then you could build this weird tree.
Oh, is that not already, like, is it not easy to...
It's
well, you can if you look at the code, right?
Well, yeah, sort of, because, you know, you could have an inscription which, in JavaScript, you know, there's one of two inscriptions it could access, but it accesses one, not the other, and you have to execute it to know which one it actually accesses.
Yeah, we need, like, I feel like the this is now my request for the Ordinals Explorers. The Ordinals Explorers need to have it where if you look at a recursive inscription, below it, it will show the things that it references, if anything.
Yeah, that's very
hard.
That'd
be pretty cool.
You could do that.
Why can't you do that?
It's very hard.
Can you just scan the code and look for...
That you could do that. It's a bad approach, though. Like,
is it just slow?
It might be compressed so that it's not... The links it's accessing aren't in plain text.
Oh.
It could use some weird, you know, it could use some weird way that it's encoded. Like it's not in the code /content/inscription ID. Mm-hmm. Like the inscription ID is in a variable and it gets added to /content/later.
Right.
In general, you know, you don't, you know, this is just a classic computer science problem. You don't know what computer programs are going to do before you execute them. And so knowing.
Yeah, so you don't know where to look for that information.
Exactly, yep.
Well, I still think it's worth doing.
Oh, yeah, you could. You would have to run it in some sort of harness that every time it made a request to an outside request, you would intercept it and record what it had requested.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So then after that.
Yuga Labs announces 12-fold.
February 28th.
Yeah, primary sales raised $15 million. I was really angry about this at the time. I may have made a video. I don't exactly recall the details.
You're like, I don't remember these things.
Yeah, but I think it was the way that they did the auction where they took everybody's money up front and then refunded them after the fact.
Yes.
Yeah, which is the same thing that I guess NodeMonks has done.
Indeed.
Remind me, is the money in the multi-sig that everybody paid $7 million into, have they sent the refunds or?
No comment.
Okay, I don't know. Somebody out there can let us know if the refunds.
No comment.
Somebody out there can let us know.
No, the refunds have been sent. I believe.
Okay, then that's fine.
Yeah. Well, but this was the problem.
Yeah, I don't like
that
sale method because it means that a bunch of funds are in custody of the person selling. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. FUD.
Yep.
March 8th, Domo launches BRC20.
Domo data. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah. But that is really what launched us to 1 million inscriptions because 100K inscriptions was February 14th. I don't know how many inscriptions we were at.
It was probably like 200K.
That's what
at
I would
March
guess.
March 8th. And then March 8th to April 8th was 800,000.
Because if I'm remembering correctly, I think when we hit 1 million inscriptions, it was something like 600,000 of them were BRC20s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Like it was just one of the. It was one of those things very similar to when people talk about, oh, Ordinals trading volume has flipped Ethereum, mm-hmm. when actually it's just BRC20s.
Yep.
I remember 1 million inscriptions being very similar to that.
Yep. There's something crazy, which is that if you look at the way that the ecosystem is structured, and by ecosystem, I mean the whole Ordinals ecosystem, Ordinals, inscriptions, all these fungible token projects, the hierarchy of power is like fully inverted from other ecosystems. Like in other ecosystems, you have the big players are the fungible token protocols, right? Those are the people with the deep pockets, and those are the people at the protocol level. Like they're the Ethereum, Aave, whatever. The whole foundation of the ecosystem is this fungible token protocol, and people are making fungible token protocols, and that's where the real money is at. And NFTs are a fraction of the volume and importance and influence.
Well, that's similar to Ordinals, no?
No, it's not.
With BRC20s?
No, because all of the fungible token protocols rely on the non-fungible token protocol, right? Ordinals and inscriptions are like the bedrock of the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then like changes are made to the Ordinals protocol, Ordinals and inscriptions, right? And then, you know, when we work on Ord and we do it for Ordinals and inscriptions. We don't do it for the fungible token standards because they have crazy requirements for what they need out of for their protocols to like survive,
mm-hmm.
and we can't cater to those requirements. And so we make changes and they're sort of forced to like follow along, you know? So we make changes, the non-fungible token standard makes changes, and then the fungible token guys just are like losing their shit. it's a weird inversion.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. I mean, I think the recent sort of Unisat situation with the BRC20 fork is, I definitely understand. I don't really like feel one way or the other about anything related to BRC20 development, but I can understand why it's a controversy one way or the other to stay in sync with Ord.
Yeah.
But it is weird to do that. Like, I agree with you. It doesn't really make sense to have a meta protocol dependent on what is essentially like a digital artifact NFT protocol.
Right. Yeah.
How does, so like, if, I mean, Runes is totally separate.
Yeah.
Basically.
Runes, the protocol is separate. It's implemented in the same binary. It's in Ord. But the protocol is
separate.
What do you
mean by that? Separate. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what I mean is that when Runes is released, Ord will become both a Ordinals and Inscription Explorer and a Runes Explorer. And you'll be able to go to ordinals.com and you'll be able to see runes and see rune balances. And you'll be able to use your wallet and your Ord wallet, you know, Ord wallet, Ord wallet inscribe. And it will be able to do things with runes, like show you your runes balance and create runes. But the protocols themselves, the Ordinals protocol, the Inscriptions protocol, and the Runes protocol are totally separate.
Yeah.
So they're separate, fully distinct parts of the code base. So whenever the Ord indexer looks at a new block, it sort of does the sats, right? It tracks the sats from inputs to outputs, and then it separately does the inscriptions, and then separately again does the runes. And those, you know, functions, the code is in the same code base, but it's separate. You could take Ord and you could delete runes from the code base and it wouldn't impact inscriptions. You could delete inscriptions from the code base and it wouldn't impact sats and runes, like ordinal tracking or runes. And you could delete ordinal tracking from the code base. This would affect inscriptions because inscriptions depend on it, but it wouldn't affect runes. Like you could strip, and you can run Ord in these various modes where it doesn't track certain things that that, like, you can run Ord without without an inscription index. You can run it without a sat index, and you can run it without a runes index.
Yeah, it is. When are we getting a runes episode?
Oh yeah, I mean, we could do an episode like right before launch.
Yeah, it's a long time from now.
It's a long time. April. Yeah. There's not really much to say between now and then.
Runes Alpha on Patreon.
Runes Alpha on Patreon. Join our whale channel or whatever. I mean, I'm working on it. There's only three things that are really hard. Maybe four things. One is doing this sort of like thing where you can put up some runes for sale and then with an exchange rate for some sats, like an asking price. And then people can buy part of that stack of runes and the rest goes back to you. That's one. The other one is like, do I want to actually do gambling? Like straight up gambling in the protocol?
I don't know. Please give feedback.
I figured out how
Any lawyers in the audience?
I figured out how to do it without introducing MEV. So I think I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty meek.
This is what finally brings down the Ordinals guy.
Yeah. And then there's, what else is there? Front-running protection for domain names, and then making it so that wallets cannot just create an open etching but participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of the four pieces of work. They're not huge. If I worked on them full time, I'd have it done in a month and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
So I've got.
But regardless, it launches at the halving block.
Yeah. So I got plenty of time, and it's going well. It's going good. Yeah.
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
And so yeah, we'll do a runes overview. Have we done a runes episode?
No.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There was one episode that I advertised as you talking about Runes Alpha, which you did a little bit.
Yeah, we could actually right now, maybe next one, we do a full Runes episode.
Sure.
Yeah, it'd be easy. I can talk about Runes forever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever, yeah. I will be talking about Runes forever.
Yeah, you definitely will be. Okay, so we just did March 8th, BRC20. March 22nd is when Magic Eden launched. I feel like this was the first really big marketplace.
Yeah,
that was like actually like you could. It wasn't just back channel Discord trades.
When did Unisat launch?
It must have been around that time. I don't have it on the timeline, but I have to imagine it was. I don't, because the thing is, I was so not tapped in to that stuff because Unisat was BRC20 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, as far as I know, a major marketplace for inscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when Unisat launched or if they were doing inscriptions before.
Yeah.
I remember Unisat being like you could make a BRC20, just type in like Aaron, 1,000, please make this, you know? Like when you couldn't do
that.
Yeah,
you minted the Aaron token, right?
I did, yeah.
You didn't create it, but you minted some Aaron coin.
No, Ordinally created it. Okay. Maybe I'm doxing him. But I think Ordinally created... No. It was already created.
Uh-huh.
It was already created because we looked it up and it was already created. There was like a 21 million supply,
mm-hmm.
and then you can mint 1,000 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So him and I think one other person... minted it, so
yeah.
Pump that bag, bro. Yeah. Free mint still available. Promise so much utility and roadmap for my holders.
Yeah.
And then, well, okay. So then, by April 8th, we were at 1 million inscriptions, most of which were BRC20. So Unisat must have launched mm-hmm. around that time too,
because
I think that's what really fueled the BRC20 craze.
Yep.
May 4th, this was in when Super Testnet wrote his, what was it called? Ord Disruptor?
I don't remember.
I don't remember what it was
called. Yeah, it was such a nothing burger. Jesus Christ, it was a nothing burger.
Well, but it was the first actual
attempt
at kind of... I what I liked about it at the time was that he actually wrapped his head around what ordinals were.
Yeah, in order to attack it. Yeah,
that gives a lot of context, because that's May. Like, the Maxis started responding to ordinals in early February,
mm-hmm.
and it took until May
yeah.
for someone to... actually
and I
do
mean,
anything that was even
yeah,
remotely like, close to a troll.
Yeah, and Udi had a great tweet the other day. It was like a long tweet where he said, like, you Maxis are idiots because you don't understand any of this at all. You've never used the tool. You don't understand any of this, right? And that just shows. I mean, Super Testnet, he's a real one, right? He understands things. He tries things out, right?
And it was a nothing burger, but I don't think he expected it to be a something burger.
He pumped it up a little bit. You
yeah,
know?
But it's, you know, it's, I don't think he thought like I'm taking down ordinals with this.
Mm.
I think it was more just, it's a troll, you know?
Yeah, right. True.
It was
actual. Yeah, I was kind of irritated. I was like, yeah.
Well, imagine how the Maxis feel.
The thing that I was actually irritated was not that he found the bug. I thought that was great. He just went on Twitter, on GitHub, and he was like, well, like, you know, I want this inscription to be in a certain place, and by fixing the bug, you're, like, depriving me of it. And I'm like, no, this is a disingenuous argument. You made the transaction to prove a point. You have no interest in the inscription. We're going to fix the bug, like... this one transaction is going to change sats that it's on, and that's fine. But, like, don't come and tell me that, like, you're a sincere person.
Please, sir.
Yeah, please, sir.
You're robbing me of my generational
wealth. Don't please
serve
me, yeah.
This is my retirement, sir.
Yeah. But, no, I like Super Testnet. He's great.
Well, now you see why... now, with that annoyance, you understand why people don't like Udi. This is, like, what Udi does all day.
Yeah.
Is, like, disingenuous trolling.
Yeah,
no
yeah,
offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Much love. But,
yeah.
You know.
Udi's funny. I give Udi a pass because he's funny.
I give Udi a pass and I give Super Testnet a pass.
Mm, okay.
I like it all.
Yeah.
I appreciate trolls of all kinds.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe not all kinds.
I like trolls, but not when I'm, like, I was already, like, very stressed about ordinals and ord. And so I was like, oh, like, more bugs to deal with, you know?
But, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, true that.
Okay, moving on. May 23rd, first rare sat inscribed by Jameson Ma and Seize Control.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Did you think that was going to happen earlier or later? I don't think it feels late, but maybe that's not true. There's not been that many rare sat inscriptions.
Yeah. So actually, I mean, rare sats are once every difficulty adjustment. So that's it. Like, if you had in your wallet, literally, 2 solid weeks of Bitcoin block rewards from 100% of the wallets, you would expect to have 1 rare sat.
But you must have, like, how many rare sats does Coinbase have?
Doesn't matter. Coinbase isn't going to go in their cold storage and get rare sats.
I'm just saying, you know, they're out there somewhere, probably mostly held by exchange. People
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't think people had started sat hunting to that extent.
No, by that point. You're right.
And like, it's just they're all not sequestered. Like,
yeah.
There are out there. And if you look at the total supply, you know, there's plenty of them. But there's so much Bitcoin that is never going to participate in ordinals at all. So they're just locked up.
Yeah, because I don't know when DZ started sat hunting, but they found a rare sat hunting and then they inscribed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was maybe the second or third
thing
inscribed on a rare sat.
Yeah, I can't wait for the first inscribed epic sat. People are going to lose their mind.
That's going to be insane.
There's four?
Well, the next epic sat is in April.
That block is going to be
with the runes launch.
Epic sat drops.
And it's
going to be
right around an eclipse.
A bloodbath.
It's because I feel like at that point, anyone who is mining Bitcoin at that point in April 2024 at least knows about ordinals enough that they're not going to give up that rare sat for cheap, right? I mean, what if Ocean Mining?
Oh, if Ocean Mining,
that'd be
gets
so awesome.
Sat, I would love that.
That would be
so much.
I want them to get it because what would they do? You know?
I don't know. They're people that I'm really comfortable just saying are morons. They're lighting money on fire. They're saying that they're going to do all this shit. It's not going to work. They're already letting people choose their own template. They're already, I think, providing templates that include inscriptions that people can choose.
Because why would anyone mine with them if,
their ideological stance is stupid.
I want them to get the episode.
Luke Jr. is, I always don't understand if Luke Jr. is disingenuous or not. Like, either he's a super literal-minded autist, or he's
say
like...
that with love.
Or he's just, like, just disingenuous. Like, I mean...
I don't think he's disingenuous.
Luke Jr. uses words in the most stupid, confusing, idiosyncratic way. And I really think that anybody who listens to Luke Jr. for long enough and has a modicum of intelligence is like, okay, this guy is... he's very smart, clearly, but his view on the world is just dumb.
Jack, get your shit together.
You did not pick a winner in Ocean Mining. But yeah, I hope that it's flushed down the toilet by the time of the halving. But if it's not,
What would be the coolest thing for them to do if they mined the epic sat? Besides, like, capitulate. Like, what would be the coolest,
thing
that they could do?
I mean, I guess they could burn it.
That's what I was going to say. Send it to Satoshi.
Yeah, send it to Satoshi or... just inscribe.
No, because I feel like inscribing
capitulating. Yeah, inscribing is capitulating.
Like, that is a sin worse than murder.
True, according to Luke Jr.
So I don't think they should do that. I think sending it to Satoshi would be the most epic thing they could do with the epic sat.
Yeah. And they would also be, again, showing how they are not a serious profit-motivated mining pool that people should
Ocean
mine
mining,
with.
If you mine that fucking sat, you better burn it. Otherwise, you guys
unfortunately,
are...
they don't have any fucking hash rate, so... Good luck, boys.
I'm so fucking... And who has the sleepiest sat? I mean, that's still unknown.
Oh, yeah. The sleepiest sat dropped, right?
Yeah, it dropped. Yeah. I don't know if it's moved out of the...
The sleepiest sat is the sat that's 12 Zs.
Yeah. No, isn't it 11 Zs or 12?
I don't remember.
Wait, how many... What's the longest... Come on, Casey. Come on. He's like,
12, I think. I'm going to just snap call it 12.
I thought
it's
it was 11
Zs.
Or 10. Because no, I thought now we're in the 10-letter era.
I guess it's... I think it was 11, and then...
How many letters does goth bitches have?
GOTHBITCHES.
Okay, 11 is the max.
Yeah, 11 is the max.
Because goth bitches exist.
Yeah, well, they do. I love them goth bitches.
All right, moving on. Okay, May 23rd was the first rare sat inscribed.
Mm-hmm.
May 24th, cursed inscriptions.
Oh, yeah, cursed inscriptions.
Your biggest failure, your biggest mistake.
Not actually my biggest mistake. So, you know, cursed inscriptions are regrettable, but especially now that they're behind us and the Jubilee has happened, I'm like, whatever. You know, it's kind of a fun, quirky aspect of inscriptions' early history.
I like them.
Yeah. Cursed inscriptions. No, I like them too. I like them too. It's actually kind of an elegant way of dealing with the problem.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's spooky.
It's spooky. They're negative numbers. Negative numbers are a little bit kooky, you know?
Yeah.
How do you have negative one of something? That's strange.
That's strange. Yeah. So, yeah, cursed inscriptions were May 24th, June 10th, recursive inscriptions. So you were just ripping through development by that point.
The thing about recursive inscriptions that's really funny is that I wanted to do it from the beginning. But the thing that was preventing recursive inscriptions from happening is that we needed a way to run inscriptions, like HTML and JavaScript inscriptions, in the user's browser. And allow it to access the contents of other inscriptions, but not allow it to access off-chain data.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a HTTP header. Each HTTP request and response comes with headers, and the headers are just like additional metadata on the request and the response. One of the headers that the server can return to the client is called the content security policy header, which determines which URLs the client page that the client is rendering is allowed to access. And I had looked at, I had wanted to do recursive inscriptions. I had looked at the content security policy header. I thought that you couldn't do it. And then I realized that you could, that I like looked at it again around June 10th. And I was like, oh, like actually the sandboxing we need is right there. I forget what I missed, but recursive inscriptions were a literal one line change to the code base.
What? That's okay. Sorry. I didn't even realize that was where you were heading at then. One line?
Yeah,
what do you mean it was one line?
It was literally one line. It was a change to the content security policy header, which previously had been maximally restrictive, and it said no outgoing requests.
Now I understand.
Yep. And then it said, okay, you can request these things.
Right, but only within these constraints. Yep. So it went from maximally restrictive to semi-restrictive.
Yeah, to just being able to hit the so-called recursive endpoint.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so elegant.
Yeah.
I love recursion. It's my favorite thing in the protocol.
Yeah, it's great. It's pretty good. There's actually a lot of wacky use cases that I haven't. That and the SAT endpoint. Like, we were like, oh, yeah, you can get the inscriptions on a SAT. And that introduces this, like, very nice, very limited form of mutability,
mm-hmm.
right, where people can change the inscriptions on a SAT, and that can let other inscriptions change in this kind of, like, predictable way where, you know, that doesn't allow ERC-721 style just rugging, but it lets things change in an interesting way. And, like, people wanted the SAT endpoint, and I was like, why? Like, who cares? And everybody was getting stoked about the SAT endpoint. I was like, all right.
Shout out,
like,
Cypherpunk guys. Yes, right?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, fine. We'll do it. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
No,
that surprised
me. I think it's really
me.
Cool. Yeah. But I think that's like where ordinals and inscriptions really become their own medium.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just saying, oh, I need to really compress my file in order to put it on the Bitcoin blockchain. You're actually using the Bitcoin blockchain in the art itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's sort of like on sats, rare sats is also kind of involving the Bitcoin blockchain.
Yeah.
And then recursive inscriptions and our next item, September 6th, parent-child inscriptions. Those are all very like ordinals things that don't exist on other chains.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, just looking at this timeline, I mean, it's so much shit happened from January 20th to basically April, May.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the summer, it was just development.
Yeah, well, when did my sabbatical start?
April.
Yeah.
I think that was April, May.
Yeah, and then I was back in business on June 10th.
You know? I want to say late May, early June is when you started like really working again.
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing on our timeline, September 11th, that was the Ordinal Summit in Singapore.
Yep.
And I think that was the first like public appearance of the Ordinals guy.
Yeah, I agreed to appear there. And I was like, don't pre-announce me because I want to be able to drop out. They were very kind. They accommodated that. And I met some of the Asian degens. And
that was great. That was an awesome trip.
It was fun. Singapore's great. Food's great. Yeah. People are great. Super safe. Super comfortable. Super like just nice. I like Singapore.
Yeah, we had such a good time in Singapore.
Delicious Chinese food at a hawker center.
Fuck yeah. That was perfect because you weren't announced, but then we did the fireside chat at the end. So mm-hmm. it was like, you know, people got to see you speak and give whatever fucking opinion you had on whatever bullshit. But it wasn't like a whole thing. And I think it was fun also to just I learned so much about just Asia is ordinals in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different view.
Asia is ordinals. You heard it here first.
Yeah. I'm sure you heard it somewhere else first, and then we're just downstream of that.
The Ordient.
No.
They call it.
They call it.
Okay, I call it.
literally our timeline ends. Because I think fall's too recent.
Mm-hmm.
All we've been doing is, you've been working on stuff. It's not like, whatever, you haven't been working. The Jubilee was, the Jubilee was a couple days ago, like a week ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fall was really just you and Raph working on stuff. us traveling around and meeting people, which was cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you met a lot of people early on. Like you did. Mm-hmm. I kept going to stuff the whole time because I...
You're a social butterfly.
I'm a social butterfly and I'm an extrovert. But I feel like you met a lot of people very early on because there were just a couple things like Nashville, like that Ordinals meetup in the Bay Area in February mm-hmm. that people came to.
Yep.
And then you kind of like pulled back and then, yeah, Singapore, you came back and then we've gone to a couple events since then.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I mean, it's so nice meeting people, I think.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great. It makes things real, you know, and a lot of people like, you know, they have this weird online presence and then you meet them in real life and they're like really decent people. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Almost everyone is so much better in person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People like this is actually something funny. This is something that like me and Raph and previously Liam would do where I actually think that how you communicate on open source projects is really important. How you write issues, the way that you respond to issues. And I think it's just really important to stay very polite and very positive. And so I try to model that for Liam and Raph, where I'll, you know, like write these like cheerful things.
Your Ord voice.
Yeah, my Ord voice, even when I'm not, you know, feeling it. Yeah, it was really funny. The other day, I think I was lurking in a Twitter space and people were like, they were paying me a very fine compliment. They were like, oh yeah, like Casey is just like a master at like running an open source project. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But I think I have done a reasonably good job so far.
I think you are. It's just that I think what people think they want out of a decentralized open source protocol is not always what is actually ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like this in the way that you're a master of it is just that I think that you're an ideal person to run it.
Right.
And I think a lot of people may think that an ideal open source protocol is like a protocol where a bunch of people all contribute equally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, hey, I'll do this part, you do this part, and we'll build this beautiful structure together.
Yeah.
But in actuality, it's more like you have this kind of vision that you're executing and you listen the appropriate amount and kind of use your technical opinion the appropriate amount and it works out well.
Yeah.
You know?
And like most projects are the number of really the contributors is limited by the size of the project. Small projects, they're just not big enough to have a lot of contributors.
Yeah.
There's not enough to do. They step on each other's toes. And then as projects get larger and larger, people will start to specialize in one part place of the code or the other. I think Ord is maybe ready for some specialization in the sense that I think that we could see a developer working full time on the wallet because the wallet is very complicated, and I think it also is where Ord has the biggest shortcomings in terms of chaining transactions and sophisticated inscribing techniques. Advanced inscribing techniques. I think we could see a full-time front-end developer on the website.
Wow, finally.
Yep. Well, you know, I still don't know if I would change the way the website looks overall,
mm-hmm.
but I think that it would be very nice to have a mempool.space-like view of the mempool and incoming inscriptions.
I agree.
And I think that is something that is best done in the front-end.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't mean to shit on ordinals.com as you have it. It's more just that I think there's a lot more that could be done on it that you're not going to do.
Yep. Yeah. And we just can't do
it. And you're
it.
Not the person to do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I could do it.
You're like,
yeah. But, no, and I'm not. And, yeah, I have enough fish to fry.
That's what I mean.
Yep. And we could also see somebody really dive into index performance, like for a month, like try to really speed up the index and really profile everything. The way that it works with indexing and with server performance, which we've actually made massive strides on, if you go to ordinals.com, it will be super snappy compared to what it was like a week ago. We were doing something dumb and we just stopped doing something dumb and now it's fast.
Nice.
Love
when that happens.
Yeah, also the DDoS, quote unquote, didn't have any impact on us. We like flipped a switch on Cloudflare. We like pressed a button on Cloudflare and then they went away.
So I don't know what a DDoS is.
Oh, yeah. People just started spamming ordinals.com.
What does that mean? They're visiting it?
Yeah, they're just making requests really fast.
Oh.
Usually with a program.
If you had ads running on a website and it got DDoSed, would you make a lot of money?
No, there's usually like sophisticated ways to tell if it's a human or not.
Oh.
So like usually they're using like AdSense and you get more money if it's like somebody logged into Google or somebody logged into Facebook and not like some, you know,
bot that just refreshes the page. Exactly. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, somebody else, like the way that it works with me and Raph is something slow, something gets slow. Me and Raph like freak out about it and work a little bit to speed it up. And then we get it to the point that it's like acceptable. And then we go to the other things that we are freaking out about. So somebody could really dive into index performance. And then for me, I need to keep sort of a overview of the project and like, but like mostly kind of work on protocol level stuff.
Yeah.
That's like hard for other people to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Future ordinals projections here.
About what?
I mean, you are. You're saying, oh, we could do this, we could do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the things that I would really like to do is I'd like to have a really great mempool view on ordinals.com. I'd like the wallet to be much better, the command line wallet to be much better. What else? I'd like indexing to be much faster. I think indexing can probably be made much, much, much faster, especially if you only care about a subset of inscriptions. What else would I like? And I'd like there to be a GUI app, like a GUI wallet.
Yeah.
That was like just an end-to-end, soup-to-nuts GUI wallet.
Well, donate to the Open Ordinals Institute to fund this stuff, or if you're good at that kind of stuff, hit us up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anything like that before.
Yeah, I think we've gotten the Open Ordinals Institute to the point just running it. It's not to the point in terms of complexity, like literally just getting our feet wet and figuring out how it works, that we'd probably be ready to start thinking about funding another dev full time.
Yeah.
If we had the money, we would really have to have the runway for it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yep. But so yeah, and who would
ordinals.org/donate.
Yep. And who would I think would be like what kind of dev would be good? I think that probably a dev who wants to work on the wallet would be good. I'd like to see Ord become the backend API for all the service providers. I think they use the index, but I don't think they use the wallet RPC commands.
Yeah.
And that would be great if we could start doing that to improve all of the services out there and to sort of deduplicate some of the effort that's out there. And then as far as the front end stuff, like making a mempool view, I think I should probably take the first crack at that to try to figure out what exactly I want.
Yeah, I think you probably have a vision.
I have a vision and I'm like so particular and I haven't figured out whether I want to use Rust or JavaScript in the front end. I hate JavaScript with such a passion that I think maybe it's got to be Rust. So yeah, got to figure that out too.
If someone were to do any of these, do they have to write in Rust?
Everything must be Rust. Yep, yep. I mean, JavaScript is a pox upon this earth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's keep going. We got derailed, but I think that's good information.
Yep. Last on our year, Bali government inscribing deal.
Oh, yeah. That was with Ordinal Summit, which is pretty sick. I mean, yeah, basically the Ordinal Summit guys, the Ordzar guys, got the Bali government to sign a deal where they're inscribing cultural artifacts, which is, I think that's a great use case for inscribing.
Definitely.
It's one of those things that when I try to explain to family members or people that just have no conceptualization at all of what I'm doing or what Ordinals is, I will explain something like that. Like, oh, well, the, you know, cultural preservation or anything that you want to exist permanently. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think a lot of people can understand. And it also wasn't something that was immediately obvious to me until I talked to Nakib about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, of course, this makes sense for these kind of projects to do stuff like this.
Yep.
So props to them. That's cool.
Props to them.
Let's move on. We have questions because I tweeted asking what people wanted to know about.
Yep.
And I just selected some of the ones that I thought were good.
Let's go.
At Good Things said, I know he said he didn't anticipate the adoption right out of the gate, but did at some point this year, he realized that what he built might make Bitcoin the most significant art platform ever created.
So I think before launch, before inscriptions, I didn't know that if it was going to work or not. Like, I didn't know if the project would work, if Ordinals and inscriptions would be adopted. But I think
by work, do you mean adopted or work? You mean technically
adopted? I mean adopted. Yeah.
You didn't know if it would take.
Yep, I didn't know if it would take. But I did know that if it did take, it would be the Bitcoin is the chain. Everything else is pond scum.
You know? My answer to this would be that, yes, you knew. But I think what's interesting is that, because we just, as I said, we rewatched the Ordinal Theory episode, which was from August 2022. Mm-hmm. You were Ordinal's biggest supporter until it took off.
Yeah, well, then I didn't need to anymore.
Yeah, you were so obsessed.
Then it would just be tacky for me to shill my own badge.
For sure. Then I think that's very much... That's what's so funny watching that episode is just you were so enthusiastic and you wanted people to care so much. And then people did care and you were like, hey, guys.
Well, I mean, shit just hit the fan. I was so stressed. There were way more bugs than we could possibly fix. We were putting out fires left and right. We had gone from having no users to having hundreds or thousands of users. Yeah. Oof.
But I don't think you're any less confident in Ordinals than you were then. It's
no,
more
I'm fully
just
confident now.
I mean,
it's just I've just settled into things and it's going well. You know?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Success.
Yep, success.
Steven Nobody asked thoughts on the evolving art of the last 12 months.
You had some good thoughts on this with recursion and the SAT endpoint.
I think the big thing is recursion because I think that is what separates, you know, just putting a JPEG on the blockchain from art on Bitcoin. And I think there's a lot yet to be done, but it's starting to kind of come out with recursion in terms of specifically like the libraries that some people can commonly reference, like JavaScript libraries, for example. Mm-hmm. I think I would like to do this if I have time, but anyone else can do this too. Just creating libraries of things that are useful for recursive art mm-hmm. and making it very clear to people where they are mm-hmm. would be so useful.
Yeah.
Like all the JavaScript libraries, and it's very public
There's a GitHub repo called Public Goods or Public Ordinal Goods, which is a list of libraries and their inscription IDs.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. Okay, so maybe I'll contribute to that or something. But I think stuff like that, and I can imagine, it's hard for me to like know because I'm not making recursive art myself, but I can imagine that there's stuff that artists would want to reference that's not just code mm-hmm. that would be interesting.
Oh yeah, like images and
like a very simple idea.
I mean, one great thing would be to do is to take an audio sample library. Just
that's
some good
literally
drum hits.
Exactly what I was gonna say. Yep. It's just like notes on a keyboard exactly. or like MIDI tracks that people could then combine to make songs. That's something that I've been waiting so long for people to do.
I don't think anybody's done it.
No, I don't think anyone's done it. I don't think anyone, as far as I know, no one has inscribed a music library like that.
Yep.
I think that would be such a good public good
Absolutely.
To do. Public ordinal goods, you know, let's talk. Next question from Milko Crypto. Discussion on the future of rare sats.
So rare sats has been something
number
I think
number go
I've,
up.
Yeah, consistently just said like number go up. Like
yeah.
I think that any individual inscription collection is like kind of a gamble. But I think rare sats, I mean, the adoption has been strong. The number has gone up and the number will go up.
It makes sense because I think the low hanging fruit has started to be completely picked.
Yep.
You know, like just doing sat hunting, scraping easy locations where you can get uncommon sats or pizza sats or whatever type of sats you want to get,
mm-hmm.
those are becoming harder and harder to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just by that logic, and also they're being inscribed on, so they're being taken out of circulation. Yep. So
and rare sats are like, they're very neutral. So they're immune from changes in trend. They're never going to go out of style. They're these neutral gems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
number go up.
Bullish on rare sats. Goated XYZ asks about Casey Rodemore. How do you feel about being chosen as a most influential person in crypto by CoinDesk? I think.
Yeah, it was a very pleasant surprise, I'd say.
Yeah,
a journalist had reached out to me about like, oh yeah, we're gonna put you on the list, and I was like, okay, well, cool. Like,
and then you
I
were
was
number one.
Yeah, that was crazy. I actually think it's an indictment of the sorry state of the cryptocurrency industry.
100%.
That some dude who made a non-fungible token protocol is the absolute hottest thing on earth, you know?
The absolute hottest thing on earth, Casey, that's...
I mean, the what he did is the absolute hottest thing that happened that year.
I liked it because I could like send it to my mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and be like, look.
And
like.
It was the most exciting thing that happened in crypto.
It was,
And that's because cryptocurrency is bullshit.
Yep.
That, you know, like go tell somebody you meet on the street with a straight face a reason to use Ethereum. There is none. The only reason is like NFTs and gambling, right?
Yeah.
And all of the real world use cases that they've been talking about, none of them have materialized. And so in the year of our Lord, 2023, the most exciting thing that happened in cryptocurrency
is the Ordinals guy.
NFTs and tokens finally coming to Bitcoin, right? That's it. Yeah.
I think it's nice. I think it's I'm glad to see crypto coming around to ordinals. Kind of took them a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so in my own bubble that to me it's like, how do you not see ordinals as being a big thing?
Yep.
But it does feel like in the last month or two things have really turned towards Bitcoin and ordinals.
Yep.
And I'm happy to see it.
Yep.
I think it's harm reduction for those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drop Lister asks, number go up.
Indeed. Drop Lister.
Yes.
Number go up. It do be that way.
Paz asked, is Casey's ordinal face still hanging in his office?
Yes.
Yes, it is. I see
it's
it.
Right over
it's behind
there.
The
it's,
camera.
It's literally right next to my desk where I work. So it's like,
it's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. Yep.
I love that.
I also have the mask that was given to me.
Yeah,
the haha mask.
First made it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got some nice physical artifacts. Giern asks, what are you most proud of and what are you least proud of that happened in the ordinals ecosystem? Let's do least first.
Okay.
Negative first, positive second.
What did I say for least proud of?
I mean, I know what you said.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's not go there.
Yeah, I would say the thing that I'm least proud of is, well, okay, and it's in the ordinals ecosystem. It's not of ourselves individually, but also we are individually in the ordinals ecosystem, so it could be that.
Yep.
The thing that I'm least proud of is we've gone through a very crazy transformation in the last year. I mean, it's just, not everything about my life has changed. I mean, actually, my day-to-day life.
Things have gone back to normal, thankfully,
like
in terms of the day-to-day.
I mean, we're doing Hell Money Podcasts. We were doing Hell Money Podcasts well before ordinals popped off.
Yep.
You know, in a lot of ways, our normal day-to-day lives are exactly the same. But the big picture stuff has changed a little bit just in terms of, I mean, for you, it's like everyone looks at what you do, for example. You know, whereas before you were just sort of coding in a... in isolation. And I think it's very trite and cliche to say, but the fame and money changes people, you know? And I think you see weird things come out in people when those sort of massive changes happen. And it's sad because the change is very positive, right? And you think, oh, change will be like, you know, getting what you want, whether that's like success of the thing that you're working on or whatever, will make me happy or it will make everything good. But in actuality, change is very difficult for most people to handle.
Yep.
And it really, it disturbs the balance. Like in a lot of ways, you actually just want things to proceed as they're going and just gradually get better.
Well, yeah, when people want their life to be better, it's actually they want like 5% of their life to be better.
Exactly.
And the other 95% is fine.
Exactly. But like when you have like a, you know, crazy sudden change to your life or all of your relationships or whatever, it's very chaotic. Mm. So that's probably the thing that I don't know if that's like proud of or not, but it's just that's been the hardest thing I think for me to deal with.
Yep.
But you know,
we'll skip my least proud, but most proud I think is just the maturing of Ord, the sort of the Jubilee going off without a hitch. I also think it's really interesting that there hasn't been any real attempts to like change the ordinals protocol. All of the upgrades we've done have been very modest, you know, and that's the way that we want to do it. I mean, we don't want to change the rules on anybody. What have we done? There's inscription number debate, but again, inscription numbers are a superficial thing on top of ordinals inscriptions. Obviously people care about them a lot. I don't want to trivialize that, but sort of leaving out the debate, like what have we done with the protocol? Okay, well, we added recursion, which is like, inscriptions can access other inscriptions. That is opt-in. You don't have to use that at all if you don't want to. We added parent-child. Again, that's opt-in. You don't have to use that if you don't want to. We added re-inscription. In some way, that's not opt-in because you could have an inscription before and know that nobody would ever re-inscribe that sat. Now you can re-inscribe that sat, but it doesn't change the inscription page. If you go to the inscription page, you won't see any of the other inscriptions on that same sat. So, you know, and we added the pointer, which allows you to modify where an inscription goes when it's being inscribed. We added delegation just recently, which allows an inscription to say, hey, just use the content of this other inscription, which is a cheap way of doing generative arts or duplicate inscriptions. We actually have done a lot. We've been pretty busy. In terms of features, I'm just saying it now, like these are more things than I think about. Like, done a lot. But we haven't really changed the protocol dramatically in any way. We have no plans to. And there hasn't been any, like, hostile takeover attempts where people have said, like, oh, this is the real, like, protocol. I think maybe that happens later on in a protocol's, like, technical lifetime when there are enough people who really understand a protocol really well and can do dev work and then real dev work, which people by and large aren't capable of doing right now. Like, there's very few people who understand and can work on Ord. And then there's enough of those people that some of them turn evil. And there's enough people that they develop, like, a faction around them.
When Ordinals Block Size Wars.
Yeah, when Ordinals Block Size Wars. Yeah, I don't even know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Ordinals is like a tranquil yak, just, like, chewing its cud on the side of a mountain. Like, nobody really bothers it. What are you going to do to this yak?
You know? Yeah, you should be proud of that. I think it is a testament to the way that you work, you know? You're very principled, and you don't move fast and break things.
Well, I really...
Even though people might think of you that way from, like, the Bitcoin side,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, really, I think this is something that I really share with the Bitcoin side, is I am interested in things that work unambiguously, things that do what they are supposed to do and are not incapable of doing what they are supposed to do. And it sounds, like, crazy that this would even have to be, like, a conversation, but most of crypto is things that do not do the prime thing that they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Decentralized, quote-unquote, projects that are fully centralized, right? Every L2 on Ethereum is a glorified multisig. Technology that does not work. Technology that does not scale. Technology that is just a joke. And I do wish that we had more resources in Ord. I wish that we didn't have to, you know, introduce bugs because we're few people and we have to get features out, but Ordinals does what it says it does, and it always has. And that is, you know, and also this is also the norm in real software, that open source software, it does what it says it's supposed to do. This is not just some magical, unattainable norm that only the Bitcoin core developers aspire to. Not all of it, but the majority of popular open source software does what it's supposed to do. And it's only the cancer that is the cancerous tumor that is cryptocurrency that just fails at this basic task.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like cryptocurrency is like startups. Startups have this issue where some of them just don't work, and they don't do what they say they're going to do. Now, startups don't take a bunch of retail money down in flames when they go under, right? It's okay. Startups are an area for experimentation, and cryptocurrency, unfortunately, is in that category. I don't think people understand the percentage of startups that fail. And yeah, the reason cryptocurrency exists is because it's like startups that can immediately start selling stock on day one.
Yeah.
And to be clear, I wish that startups could start selling stock on day one, because then we probably wouldn't have cryptocurrency mania and people would be investing in things that actually had a chance of paying off. Yes, there would be malinvestment. People would get scammed. But that's why we have cryptocurrency.
Let me think about that, actually. That's an interesting take, because, I mean, yeah, essentially people make a token to function as an unregistered security.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then are there a lot of examples of something that's built that's an interesting project that has a token because it wants to do exactly that? Do you know what I mean?
Well, no.
Like, the project isn't the token, but the token is just sort of a side thing. But I guess they can't do that because it's an unregistered security.
They can't do that because it's an unregistered security.
Yeah, yeah.
And stocks are, the purpose of a stock is to represent, is to be to measure ownership.
Yeah.
And ownership is enforced by the state. You own your car because if somebody takes it, one, if somebody tries to take it, the cops will stop them. If they do take it, the cops will try to get them down. And if somebody, you know, kills your yak, you can sue them and get the money back.
Please don't.
Don't kill the yak. there's root beer yak, who's very near and dear to our heart.
Yeah.
So that is what ownership is. And I wish it wasn't like that. I wish ownership wasn't tied up in the state, but that's simply the reality that we live in. And if stock is ownership, and so if the state doesn't recognize your stock doesn't exist, right? And that's why we haven't seen any real tokenized real world assets, because the linchpin of ownership is recognition by the state.
Right.
And if it's a, if it's just this phantasmal unregistered security that might also be prima facie illegal, the state is not going to enforce those ownership rights.
Well, I can say what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, yeah, go for
in
it.
The Ordinals ecosystem. I'm proud of the Ordinals OGs, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's you know, NFT crypto adjacent, if not just completely NFT and crypto vibes, like at this point. But I've been impressed at how genuine and real a lot of the Ordinals OG people are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not just sort of jumping on a new thing and ready to abandon it as soon as it's not the new thing. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there are lots of people like that, but especially a lot of the, I don't know, founders of collections and stuff, I've been really impressed meeting them. Like, yeah. They're just genuine, nice people, and it's so nice to have young, fresh energy in Bitcoin. You know, like, before Ordinals, I would go to Bitcoin conferences, and I was probably one of three women in the room and probably one of maybe 10 to 20 people that were under the age of 30.
Yep.
You know, it's pretty rough out there in the Bitcoin world. It's boomer as fuck. And it's not that way at all at Ordinals stuff. I mean, it's still obviously male dominated, and I'm not really complaining about that. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's really nice to just see young people, and especially people that are very like tech optimist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that vibe. I love people that are creative and also don't hate the future. Cause so many artists are so like, used to be good back in the old days that I never even lived through, you know? And I think it's really nice to meet creative people that are using technology to allow them to create more.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about Ordinals. That's like my favorite thing, is just seeing people that are artists that can actually use it
to
be artists.
The gender ratio is also,
you know,
not terrible. I mean, it's still definitely lopsided, but it's better than mainstream Bitcoin, I'd say.
For sure. Oh, but I mean, it's 100% better than mainstream. I don't know how it compares to like the rest of crypto. It's probably similar.
Yeah, I think that when things kind of go mainstream, when there's a lot of hype, the gender ratio gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. But in any case, it's just, I've been impressed with the Ordinals OGs, the creators on Ordinals, and they're not going anywhere, and I like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they're like, they're technologically educated at this point too. Like the ones that inscribed, you know, sub 100K or whatever, they had to learn what Bitcoin and Ordinals were to some extent in order to inscribe. And I think that's cool. It's cute. You know, I love seeing people have fun on the computer.
Totally. Yeah. And a lot of OGs are still around.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's nice. It's like, they're still here and like,
they're still
in it. They're still very active.
Shout out to Charlie. Shout out to Droplister. Shout out to Post, shout out to Cypher, shout out to Paz, shout out to all these people.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool,
it's
man.
It's cute. Yeah, I really love it. Okay, moving on. Sir Gnarl Nomi asked ugliest inscription award.
Mm.
I know what the answer is.
What's that?
BRC20.
Yeah, BRC20 is hideous. Yeah. The first BRC20 inscription is the ugliest inscription.
Yeah. 100%. Okay, Lindoko asked, class superlatives. We'll do that in a sec. We came up with them. How things went, expectation versus reality, and bold predictions on the upcoming year.
Yep.
So let's start with how things went, expectation versus reality.
Things just were crazier. Everything was crazier.
You can never anticipate.
Everything was faster. A lot of things did come true. Me and Aaron were watching the Ordinal Theory episode that we did right before this episode, right before we started recording. And it was like so much stuff was just prescient, you know, like I knew that a lot of stuff was going to happen. Yeah.
And I think that the game theory stuff, the stuff that's based on incentives, we actually, I mean, meaning you actually.
We nailed it. It's a team effort.
Yeah. Well, you know, you need someone to refine your ideas with.
Yeah.
I think the game theory stuff, the stuff that acts based on incentives and sort of like rational economic actors, pretty much all continued as expected.
Yep.
But then there's so much random, like irrational, chaotic stuff that you can never expect. And that stuff has just been like, I feel like every day is like a new surprise, to
be
honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's wild.
But things have chilled out a lot, which is really, really nice.
Yep.
Bold predictions on the upcoming year. I mean, I made a fuck ton of bold astrological predictions in our last episode.
True, yeah.
So what about you?
For ordinals and inscriptions, I see maturation. And I think inscriptions are going to continue to chip away at the high-end NFT market, both on high-end NFTs and on high-end art. I think over the next 10 years, we'll see a real interesting art form emerging in the form of inscriptions. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what its final form is going to be, but I think it's going to be interesting. And runes. I think that runes are going to be absolute fucking madness. I think they're going to be, I think they're going to be like inscriptions, except on day one, there are going to be tens of thousands of degens salivating, just dripping at the gash, ready to go at it.
Yeah, I think, I think probably people don't underestimate this. I probably just previously underestimated this, but I do think runes is going to bring a lot of craziness to ordinals. Like, not just to runes, but to, like, inscriptions, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that sort of...
The influx of support issues on GitHub that are, like, how do I...
I meant more like capital, but... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the capital is also really crazy. Because the big money is in fungible tokens.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, exchange volume all comes from fungible tokens. The non-fungible tokens are a sideshow compared. That's why BRC20 has been so huge.
Right. So that's kind of what I see, is just, I think runes will not only be its own, you know, best shitcoin casino in the galaxy, multiverse, whatever, but also then it will bring a lot into ordinals and inscriptions that I think a lot of people probably are fucking prepared. I think we're some of the, like, least educated degens, to be honest.
It's very interesting to create something that people use, where the users are oftentimes more sophisticated in some ways. Or
in
more,
certain aspects.
Yeah. Like, people do... I don't know what anybody's doing. I'm here working on Ord to simple software. I don't know the art that people are making, the inscriptions that people are making. I especially don't know the communities that people are developing, what's going on in all these discords. And then runes is going to be even more about that. There's going to be max pico degeneracy going on, and I'm going to be like...
You're going to be like...
Yeah.
Let's get into the fucking superlatives.
Let's do it.
Okay, we did 10 superlatives.
Yeah, let's go. Let's run through them.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of, Speedrunner Award, that's the first award that we're doing. That goes to Inscription 100.
Yeah, it has the grave guy with the guy going like this next to a grave.
Maybe we can edit it in.
And it says
inscriptions,
and then like one sats. on the grave, and then one sat per V byte.
Yeah, that was
one sat per V byte was the norm a lot of the time. Those days are over, boys.
That was January 26th. I have it written here. Yeah. So Speedrunner Award goes to Inscription 100. I don't know who made it, but props to you. Best Formegger Award. Rare Skrilla.
Definitely the best Formegger. Yeah. Solid Formegger.
Anything with the Pepe is almost always going to win.
It had dank beats. It had a nice voice clip of like me and somebody else.
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, then sick. You're going to have to choose that.
Immortalized.
Next one, Truth Seeker of the Year. Mark Goodwin.
That's right, Mark Goodwin. This may just be about favoritism, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I feel like it's really Mark Goodwin's year.
Yeah, well, really what we're doing is we need to make sure that we sort of, like, if Mark Goodwin dies, it was not a suicide. No. Okay.
That's what we're documenting.
He's sometimes he flies too close to the sun.
Yeah, Mark Goodwin flies so close to the sun, but he's also ascending so rapidly, and we love to see it.
Yeah.
And we just want to document.
Yeah. We just want to pay homage
to Mark and his truth seeking abilities. Yep. We really love to see it. Next award, the Pyromaniac Award. Jameson Ma, is that who did it?
Are you sure his name's
no,
Jameson Ma?
Maybe it's is going parabolic. Who's
yeah, it's going parabolic.
Who's going? Is that James?
Jason.
Oh fuck. Okay, wait. Jason.
Going parabolic
for Teleburning the Ape.
Yeah.
Pyromaniac Award, Teleburn. Yep. Get
we
it.
We came up with Teleburning on the same day, or like one day. There was on the same day we came up with Teleburning on the. By the end of the day, somebody had teleburned
a fucking ape.
Yeah, like a half milli ape. And like the teleburning wasn't even in the software yet. So it was only months and months and months later that you could actually see the teleburn address and like verify that the ape had come over.
That's a fucking pyromaniac.
Yep, yep.
Next award, best ordinals hater. You want to do the honors?
Luke Jr., man. Luke the cat Jr. eater himself, yeah.
Best ordinals hater. Congratulations.
I hope that he gives up on trying to stop inscriptions because he never will. It's not going to work. And goes back to doing useful work on Bitcoin. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
be a family man, Luke.
We all have our own quests to and lessons to learn in this lifetime. So, yep. You know, he might just be on a very special quest.
He is. He's a special guy.
He's a special boy. Next award, Trailblazer Award. Inscription 30.
Yep.
We're giving this to Inscription 30. Inscription 30 is Casey dressed as Trump.
Yep. We did a Trump versus AOC podcast episode.
A long time ago.
Some of our finest work. Those costumes were amazing.
Yeah,
those when you like play it up, you really look like AOC.
I know. People don't give me the people don't give me the credit I deserve because you as Trump was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I really looked like AOC.
You really did.
The problem is I just don't not look like AOC.
Right.
You know? So it's like whatever.
Yeah.
It's like easy. But Inscription 30 is
I was really impressed. Like, your makeup was very subtle, and I was like, oh my god, now you really look like AOC.
It's because she has a Vogue Get Ready With Me makeup tutorial on the internet, so I watched a tutorial and followed her doing her own makeup.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that she does that
signature
are
distinct? Red
lip. Oh, okay.
Signature red lip. Her brows and her eyeliner are also a very particular kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I overemphasized my nose and like the contour because she kind of has like a nose nostril flare kind of situation.
Uh-huh.
But it's not as iconic as Casey as Trump. But what I love trailblazing about this is that this is the first image of Trump on the Bitcoin blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
So people will think Trump was Casey. Casey was Trump. Like, they'll be like, oh my God, the ordinals guy was also
the
that
president.
Guy?
Also on The Apprentice.
Yeah, exactly. So Inscription 30, I don't know who did it. Congratulations. Next award.
Yep.
The Fool's Gold Award. Peter Schiff.
Yeah, for like just minting his inscription collection and like, I think just kind of like scamming people. I don't know.
So awesome, honestly. Like, you spend years railing against Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then you launch a fucking inscriptions collection. And early on, too, it was like May. Like,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Congrats. Yep. You know, you really earned it.
Yep.
Next award, Jester's Privilege Award. Rheindahl.
No surprise, really.
I mean, as soon as we said it, I'm sure you knew.
Yeah, I mean, a jester is somebody who's both smarter than everybody else and who's just having a good time.
Yeah, Rheindahl has Jester's Privilege. Jester's Privilege is when you can make fun of anyone with, like, the privilege of
full
not
impunity.
Getting
yeah.
full impunity.
Rheindahl can spit in my mouth.
Rheindahl can do anything to anyone. No one's mad about it. I mean, some people are, but everyone knows they're
not
ridiculous.
Not the people that matter.
Yeah, it's just really, I don't know how he does it. He's just an icon, yep. And congratulations. Next award, Best German.
Best German, guys.
Light Rider.
Light Rider. Oh, yeah.
Runners up. There were some runners up. It was
I don't
really
think
stiff.
We didn't have any runners up. That was the full.
We were just like, that's
list.
The best.
Yeah,
that's our
not
best German.
Not even very really empty field.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, it's yeah. He basically it's a shoe-in. Yeah. Last one. This one is probably the most special one.
Most special one.
Hell Money Podcast Super Fan
Super
of the
fan
Year.
Super Fan of the Year
award.
Award.
Billy McDo.
Billy McDonald, baby. The organizer of Bay Area Bitcoiners,
yeah.
One of the masterminds.
We owe him everything.
We owe him everything.
We owe him our entire
friendship.
We met
at a
yeah.
Bay Area Bitcoiner
yep.
award.
Yeah,
or,
Hell Money Podcast would be nothing without Billy McDo.
It wouldn't even have happened.
And what really sets him over the edge as Hell Money Pod Super Fan of the Year is that he sends us voice notes that... like are his comments on the episode.
Yeah. We love these.
We love them so much. We cherish them. I like beam with joy every time that I see a new one. So we're gonna play one, I guess,
let's go.
To play us out.
Yeah.
Let's just outro before, you know. And
end of the episode. It was a good episode. It was a good episode.
I think it's a good episode.
Pretty chill.
Ordinals year in review.
Yep.
Happy 1 year. Of ordinals.
Happy 1 year.
Wouldn't want to do with anyone else.
Same. I'm really glad I had you along for the ride. Donate to our soon-to-be published Bitcoin donation address.
Yeah, or get on Patreon.
Get on Patreon.
Maybe we'll do something, but no fucking promises.
No
probably
promises
not,
at all.
To be honest.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe you'll get feed pics, but not Aaron's feet. My feet. Sorry, guys.
Or congratulations.
Or congratulations.
Yeah. it's been a great year, and we'll play it out.
Yeah. So thanks, see everyone. You guys next time.
Can we just revel on Casey's year for a second? He somehow ended up in a world where he just convinced everybody that this crazy Ordinal shit was like real, and built the machine so that he could just incept people's dreams, right? Their NFT Ordinal dreams. He is so deep in the inception, he might never come out. And I think that's all he ever wanted. But then, on top of that, he's figured out via the Hell Dorks podcast, Hell Money podcast, right? Where a human, that's you, Aaron, will just be like, I've got lots of questions. I'd love for you to ramble on about Bitcoin stuff. And he's just like, holy shit, really? Yes. And what's great is there's very few questions that he really says, I don't know. I won't even speculate. He'll give you an answer. He might hedge and be like, you know, I'm not totally familiar with this, but that doesn't stop him. He is going to answer. It's awesome. 2023, Casey living his best life.